Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a single black man listening to my show right now, or a single African-American woman listening to my show right now, let me ask you a few quick questions. Number one, have you experienced more than your fair share of unhealthy, argumentative, and or volatile relationships with black women or black men? Number two, if the answer is yes to my first question, who would you say was more to blame for those bad relationships? Was it you or your former partners? Final question, which gender do you think has more than its share of personal issues that need to be corrected, improved upon, or even eliminated? Black men or black women? Tonight, I'm going to be conversing with two African-American women about the perceived flaws and weaknesses of each gender within the African-American community and how they have contributed to many of the problems and ill feelings between single black men and single black women. Who are these women who are willing to offer their very strong opinions about the bad habits of black men and black women? Their names are Ms. Shani Fenderson and Ms. Deborah Cooper, who is also more popularly known as Ms. Heartbeat. And tonight, Shani and Ms. Heartbeat will inevitably end up getting many of my African-American listeners very riled up as both women take time out of their busy schedules in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
I don't wanna give you my
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, October 24th, and tonight I'm going to be engaging in another hot and juicy conversation. I like to say, buckle your seatbelts, listeners. Diva is here in my chat room. What's up, Diva 362636, my number one most loyal listener. Her real name is Adrian. As you know, she multitasks on Thursday night. She watches games, she watches Scandal, and she listens to her dear friend, Alan Roger Curry's talk radio show. I got Black Man USA in my chat room. I haven't seen him in my chat room in a minute. What's up, brother? He and I always communicate through Twitter. But yeah, this is the first time I've seen him in the chat room in a few months. My main man Frankie is in the chat room. Frankie's in the chat room. I got a number of guests. I got Wesley Boyd in my chat room. Wesley Boyd is in my chat room, and I'm sure I will have some of my other faithful listeners joining me. But as I was saying, as a host, I can never predict with accuracy which episodes are going to provoke a lot of heated debates, intense discussions, or provoke a lot of feedback from listeners. But anytime you have a discussion specifically about black men and or black women, you're bound to get a wide assortment of reactions. That's been my experience. Matter of fact, this is one of the first shows I've had in a long time that specifically dealt with black men and black women. Because I'd say 98% of my episodes typically just deal with men and women universally, whether they're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. This is probably only my fourth, no more than my fifth show over the last 6 years that was specifically geared towards just black men and black. I know in 2008, I did a two-parter, which I played excerpts from just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had an episode called Angry Black Women Part 1 and Angry Black Women Part 2. Steve the Dean Williams, who was on my show last week, he was my guest for that first part, and then I had these two women on for Part 2. And then, again, I've had maybe one or two shows since then. But this is my first one in a long time, because normally I don't like to alienate my non-black listeners, but, you know, if the topic is juicy, the topic is juicy. And tonight's discussion is going to ask the question, who is more to blame for the demise of many romantic relationships between black men and black women? Is it the brothers or is it the sisters? So let's say, you know, the diplomatic answer, of course, would be to say it's 50%, the black men are 50% to blame, and black women are 50% to blame. But so we're going to throw that answer just out the window. You can't use that as a response tonight. So if you had to target one of the two and say they're responsible for at least 55 and 60% of the problems between the two, who would you give at least a slight lean towards in terms of blaming? Would you blame it towards black men, or would you blame more of the problems towards black women? And I have two female guests joining me tonight. Now, obviously, in order for it to be a good discussion, I can't have two people on the show who agree with each other. You know, so originally I wanted my guest from last week, Steve the Dean Williams, to be my guest on this week's show. But he was scheduled to be out of town this week, so I ended up having him on last week. And it worked out great because, to me, it has more credibility to listen to a black woman defend black men than a black man himself. But the reason I wanted the Dean, because if you're familiar with the Dean, used to have some very, very, very harsh criticisms of black women. I think over the last 2-3 years, he's kind of toned down somewhat. But back around 2006, 2007, 2008, the dean was hardcore against black women. I mean, matter of fact, me and him actually fell out a couple times because he expressed stuff that I just wasn't in agreement with about black women. So that's why I originally wanted him on the show. But yeah, like I said, it's going to work out for the best. Now my other female guest, she's almost, a lot of people consider her the female equivalent to what the dean used to be. In the same way the dean used to be real harsh in his criticism of black women, one of my two guests tonight, she's known for being very harshly critical of black men. I mean, she's done a number of shows on her. She has her own Blog Talk Radio show. She's done a number of shows that specifically were geared towards criticizing black men. So I'm gonna be very interested, quite frankly, to hear what she has to say tonight. Because she says some stuff that she's like, dogs out. She just dogs out, brothers. I just put it like that. Now, speaking of the dean, if you missed my episode from last week, please, please, please go back and listen to the archive podcast. But that show was on fire. I hope this show lives up to that show. Because most of my episodes, I usually get a handful of messages from my listeners saying, hey, good show, or that was an interesting guest, or whatever. But there's about, I don't know, over the last 6 years, I've probably had about 12 to 15 shows that provoked a lot of feedback from listeners, whether it was through emails to me, Facebook messages to me, or something of the like. And last week's show was one of those type of episodes. I got a lot of feedback on that show. The man loved it. I don't think I got any one criticism from a male listener. Women were kind of split. I would say about 40 to 50% of the women didn't have a problem with it. They thought it was a very good show. About 50 to 60% of women who wrote me emails or Facebook messages, they had at least one criticism. The main criticism from women was directed at the dean. A lot of women didn't like the fact that he kept referring to manipulative women as ain't about shit bitches. You know how women are about being called a bitch. So, yeah, a lot of women take exception to him calling manipulative women bitches and ain't shit bitches, ain't about shit bitches. But my attitude is, if you're a woman and you're highly manipulative, you are an ain't shit bitch. I mean, I'll say that. Shit, I would never, you know, call all women bitches. But if you're a woman whose specific objective or agenda is to manipulate man, take advantage of him in some kind of way, then I agree with that title, ain't shit bitches. So I didn't have a problem with the dean saying that, because he wasn't talking about all women. He was mainly talking about women who were manipulative. But that was the main criticism I was getting from women. The second criticism was just simply a lot of women didn't like having the label or stereotype of being called manipulative. That's what I find about women, and I'm generalizing a bit, but a lot of women, they don't like to be thought of as manipulative. Even the ones who are manipulative do not like to be called manipulative or thought of as manipulative. If you're manipulative, you're manipulative. What's my definition? Like, a lot of women ask me, they say, Alan, what is your definition? And I wrote an article in Examiner where I answered that question, my thoughts. I mean, some people might have their own definition. Here's my kind of simple yet general definition of being manipulative. Is any time there's something you want from someone, and instead of directly asking them for it, you kind of go in a roundabout, beat around the bush way. You mislead people to think you want one set of desire. You have one set of desires, interests, and intentions, when in actuality you have a different set of desires, interests, and intentions, like an underlying agenda. I'll give a couple examples. For men, if you're a man, and you know deep down you just want short-term, non-monogamous, casual sex, but you're giving a woman impression through your words and behavior that you want a long-term, emotionally profound, romantic relationship. That would be an example of a man being manipulative with a woman. He's misleading her. He's, you know, he's giving an impression he wants something long-term, but he really just wants to tap that ass for a couple weeks. Females, a woman who gives a man impression that she wants to date him or have sex with him, but really she's just looking for another platonic friend or a sugar daddy. Like Beige Fletcher. If you remember that former guest I had on my show named Beige Fletcher, to me she's the prototypical example of a manipulative woman. She admitted on my show that she gives men the impression that she was going to give them some pussy when in reality she just wanted to take advantage of them financially. See, that's my example. That's my best example of a manipulative woman. So when women ask me through email and Facebook, Alan, what's your that's my general definition is when you just giving people the impression you want to share their company for one reason, but really you got some type of underlying motive, underlying agenda. And yeah, there's a lot of women out here that are manipulative. That's not to say that men aren't. Men are manipulative. But women, yeah, women, you know what's funny? And I'm going to say this last thing, and now I'm going to go to my intermission break so I can get ready and introduce my guest, because we're going to, time is going to be of the essence tonight. But here's the thing I'm going to just tell you that I find interesting about men and women and how similar we are, but yet different we are. Women will say that a man is not about shit if all he wants from them is sex. I hear so many women say, oh, he just want to get in my pants. He ain't shit. He ain't about shit. He just want to fuck me. He ain't about shit. Men, on the other hand, we tend to say women ain't about shit if they want everything from us but sex. That's always been amusing to me. Because seriously, see if I'm not telling the truth. If you hang around most men, when they will talk about a woman being about shit, it's because that woman wanted to spend time with them platonically and use them for money, but didn't want to give them no pussy, you know. Whereas a woman, if a man wants to fuck them, that's when they say the man ain't about shit. So, you know, we have different definitions, different perceptions of who we think ain't shit. Because, yeah, I admit I'm like that. I don't like a woman that wants to spend a bunch of time with me if she ain't talking about sucking my dick and giving me some pussy. I really don't. And I know that makes me to a degree sound maybe shallow in some people's eyes or superficial, but I ain't about all that platonic interaction. Fuck that. No. If you're married, I'm cool with being platonic friends with you. If you're in a relationship with somebody, I'm cool with being platonic friends. But if I'm single and unattached, you single and unattached, fuck that shit. Anyway, I'm going to get this conversation going. I'm going to take an intermission break. When I get back, I'm going to introduce my first guest, and we're going to get this conversation going. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage, and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there, and he'll help people and help him and help him and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people, and he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
And I need to know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, you got a talent for this rollerblading thing. And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, yes, I love to rollerblade. I said, well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading. I said, your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex? And she was like, oh, my
my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses? I was like, is that a trick question?
Please visit www.modeone.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at blogtalkradioadvertising@modeone.net. That's modeone.net. Don't wait. Do it now. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. I see Fly Tie has joined me in the chat room. Fly Tie, sex, let's make it better. Sex, let's make it better. Susan De Jesus, I always mispronounce that, but he knows what I'm saying. Susan De Jesus in my chat room, and my main man in the phone queue, Irvin V. Pulliam, the third EVP3 from Seattle. He is to my phone queue what Adrian is to my chat room. My first guest is a co-host of a weekly show right here on Blog Talk Radio entitled The Gumbo Cafe. That's under Steve the Dean Williams label here on Blog Talk Radio. And she and her co-host discuss a wide variety of topics, many related to dating and relationships, and other times just various aspects of life in general. She lives in the extra large state of Texas, and I lightheartedly have been referring to her as Steve the Dean Williams' new female protege. But she's very outspoken. I've only known her a short period of time, but I already know she's a woman with strong opinions. She's very intelligent, very articulate. So on behalf of Blog Talk Radio and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Miss Shani Fenderson. Shani, what's happening, young lady?
Not much, sir. Thank you for having me here tonight. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to your audience in regards to this topic. This is something that I really want to get into.
Okay.
Which I normally do every week anyway, so, yeah.
Now, listeners, if you were listening last week, Shani actually called in last week and added, you know, a few comments, a few strong opinions when we're talking about beta males and the manipulative women who love to control and manipulate them. And, Yeah, Shani has something to say. But, okay, before I get into my questions, real quick, how long have you been co-hosting the Gumbo Cafe here on Blog Talk Radio?
The Gumbo Cafe, we started that in July, but Dee and I had another show a couple of years back called, well, it was another show, but we changed the format and decided to do what we really wanted to do, which is talk about female topics. And that's been going on since July of this year. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, now I'm going to ask this question to you, and when I introduce my second guest, I'm going to ask her the same question. If it were universally determined that you had to put at least 60% of the blame on one gender, you couldn't do it's 50% black women's fault and 50% black, you had to lean towards one, so let's just say 60, at least 60%, which gender would you say would get the target for that 60%? Would it be black men or black women?
I do understand that there are both men and females alike who have issues in the relationship, but I'm a woman, and I can only speak for what women do. And I would say that 70% of a relationship issue would come from the female.
Okay. Now, obviously, there would be women, black women listening,
right.
Some that might agree with you. Some, I've heard women, criticize other women, but I'm sure there would be an equal, if not greater, percentage that would say, I beg to differ. So give me at least two or three specific reasons and or explanations of why you think black women are at least slightly more to blame for the demise and problems in a lot of black relationships than black men.
I would have to say, Ellen, that it really, one of the reasons is if you look at what we're doing today, not you and I, but this is Thursday night. What show is on right now? Scandal, right?
Scandal.
Right.
Love them some Scandal.
Sisters love them some Scandal. Why do they love Scandal? Because of the drama. Why do we prefer drama? Because we're not satisfied with ourselves. A lot of the problem is with women is we don't want to take accountability. I've seen countless women on several times point the direction and the fault always at the male, failing to recognize their own demise, their own failures, and things of that nature. We don't want to take personal accountability, and I always speak about accountability. And what I've noticed is we would rather run to the TV show. We would rather run to any extracurricular activity. We would rather run and point the finger and say it's the man's fault. If it's not the man's fault, it's the government's fault. If it's not the government's fault, it's everybody but us. And when you start to see those type of women, just look at your news feed today, right now while they're watching Scandal. It's always somebody else's fault. And we self-medicate ourselves with these things, these lies, to cover up our own pain and our own drama. And we embrace the bull crap that's on TV.
Well, speaking of Scandal and drama, even though, I must point out, as a couple of people already have in the chat room, that is, fictional show, fictional characters, but
whatever.
I did a show actually on, do you think that Kerry Washington's character is a role model for black women? And it was interesting because I thought the universal answer among black women would be yes, but when I did that show, a good number of women said actually no, because the biggest criticism against her was that her character almost glorifies the role of the other woman, the mistress, the side bitch.
Uh-huh.
And my attitude is, what woman would want to be, the mistress or the side woman? So, okay, to quickly recap, Shani has said already that she says black women love drama. Well, on that point, it's interesting. I've talked about this a couple of times. I had an ex-girlfriend, ex-girlfriend who told me to my face, I give her points for being honest. She said, Alan, we're just talking about relationships in general, our relationship in particular and relationships in general. And she said, Alan, I have to be honest with you. She said, I get bored in a relationship if there's no drama.
Uh-huh.
I said, really? I said, so that's why you be starting all these arguments with me for no reason. And she kind of, giggled. But she said, yeah. She said, when I think of all my relationships in the past, she said, if everything is too easy going, I get bored. I don't like it. She said that. That now brings me back to Scandal. I don't want to touch too much on Scandal. But there's a video that a lot of my readers and supporters were sharing on Facebook and playing over and over again, even ones who don't even watch the show. But there's this clip, and I'm into paraphrasing her dialogue. But if you follow the show, she had this one black guy she was dating, real clean-cut guy who was running for senator or something. And he comes in basically to ask her, like, what's up? What's up with our relationship? Are we going to move forward? Well, what are we going to do? And he basically says that he could offer her, a quality life, nice house. Anyway, she ends up looking at him. She's like, I don't want none of what you're offering. Everybody, again, I'm paraphrasing where I can't remember the exact dollar, but it's to the fact of she's like, I don't want a relationship that's easy. She said, I want there to be, like, frustration and heartache and problems. And now, thinking about some of your girlfriends or even maybe just casual female acquaintances, would you say that represents some women where they just feel like they have to be enthralled in, well, I guess you already said that you feel like a lot of black women love drama, but would you say that's a big problem among a high percentage of black women They've just got to feel like they're involved in drama?
In my personal circle, no, I don't see it. However, I do know several African-American women, and one who was talking to a relative of mine who told him, our relationship isn't good unless we're arguing. I would rather you fight and argue with me to prove to me, to show me that you love me. They want to manipulate the guy so that they feel like they're in control, like you were speaking about earlier in, the beginning of the show here. But I do see the majority of women would rather have that drama so that they can feel. And again, it goes back to personal accountability. It's something inside or internal that they haven't dealt with and why they're attracted to this pain, to this drama, to this arguing. To me, that's a bunch of mess. Why do you want to be in an environment where you're always fussing and fighting? I'd rather have the mellowed out relationship where everything is cool. What's the point of arguing with this guy? And I'm still not going to be happy. Why am I still going to be manipulative with him and still not be happy? Why am I going to seek outside of the relationship and still not be happy? And what I've seen in black women, we're never happy. We're never satisfied because we're not in control. We have to feel some way of being in control, and that lack of control is internal. It's not external. No man with a wallet and a whole bunch of bank is going to make you happy just for the time being. No big penis is going to make you happy just for the time being. That's it. But until you deal with your own personal demons, then you'll be happy. And the only reason why I speak about this is because I was that type of woman. It's not that all of a sudden I'm just speaking up something new just to get, recognition, oh, this is Shani. No, bullcrap. I was a female who loved the drama. I chased the drama. I endured I appreciated the drama. Until I realized it's something more in life than just following after this crap, because I'm still not happy on the inside. So, that's one of the things why I speak about personal accountability. I have to look at the relationships that I'm in and ask myself, what am I doing? Why is this not working right? Hold on, calm down. Let's put the brakes on it. What's going on with me? It's not him. It's not the other guy. It's not the job. It's me. Why am I not happy? And that's what we ultimately have to get to as women. But a lot of times, we don't want to deal with that because we want to prove to you guys or other females for competition, whatever. We want to prove to you guys that we're already perfect. Perfect is nothing but a bunch of lies and words. We want to prove to you guys that we're queens. Bull crap, you're not a queen. What's going on inside of you? Why are you not happy? But I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop.
No. You were in a good flow. So, hey, I was enjoying that. Because you know you said a couple of things that you probably got a collective amen from a lot of brothers. I can speak as a brother. Because when you, I forgot the comment you made. What was that comment you made? Right before you start talking about how women, sisters like to control shit. Something you said right before that.
My bad.
I'm going to have to think about it now. But, man, yeah, you said something that made me say, damn, if that ain't the truth. see, because as people know from listening to my show, I started off in my intro saying I don't do too many shows that specifically are directed at black men and black women, because I'd say 96, 97, 98% of criticism I have of men are of all men. 96, 97, 98% of the criticism I have of women are of all women. It's only a one or two criticisms I tend to have specific. Like, now here is one I do have of black women. I want to get your thoughts on this. And me and Steve, my guest from last week, Steve the Dean Wins, we've talked about this a few times. I do not like when these sisters, like I'm in Chicago area, they have these things called relationship chats where they basically allow people to come and vent about, you know, their relationship disappointments, frustrations, problems. And I noticed a lot of sisters, when they get ready to say something, they would preface all their comments by saying, I'm a strong black woman. I'm a strong, successful, independent sister. I was like, what the fuck is that shit? If you had girlfriends say that shit, like if they preface a comment, particularly to a man, they start off by saying, I'm a strong black sister.
Yeah, that term pisses me off myself. You know, independent. What are you independent of? Because we're all relying on somebody or something. We're independent. We're dependent of the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. You know, if we're a percentage of water, we need that water to survive. What are you independent of? Your thoughts? What are you independent of? We depend on each other all the time. And being that strong black woman, just because you say it doesn't mean that you are. Put them in the jungle and see how strong they are. See how strong they are if they're in the jungle. Bucket naked. How will they survive? You ain't that strong, boo. You're not.
You ain't that strong, boo. Ah, Shadi, you a character. I like that. Because what I tell sisters of today's generation, and with all due respect to them, as a group, I think the sisters in my mother's generation and their generations prior to that dealt with much more adversity, much more shit where they had to be strong than this generation does. Much more.
We're a lazy society, this generation, from the tail end of the baby boomers and to the Generation X and the Generation YZ. We're lazy. I mean, I'm still in the home with my grandmother. She's 88 years old, about to be 89, and hearing her tell the stories that when we were kids, this is what she says, when we were 5 years old, we were out in the field, and it's hot here in Texas, to 100 and some degrees out here. That's strong when you got, when you're toting a hoe, if y'all know what a real hoe is, not a whore. But when you're toting a hoe, working out in this long tail in this field with nothing but dust and heat, that's strong. They supported the family. You know, I was speaking to somebody earlier where, you know, they provided for each other. My grandmother wanted to go to college. The whole family got together and paid for college, for her to go to college. Do we do that now? Girl, you better just sit over there and mind your own business. You acting too smart. We don't care. We're not showing any signs of that generation at all. We have failed them. No lie. We failed them. They worked hard in the heat. We had the women who were slaves, whose families did have slaves in their family. Not everybody did. But those women were beat down and still had to make it work. They still slept with masters. They still had to make it work. Their children were taken away from them. What are we doing this generation? He can't see my baby. Uh-uh. He's going to have to give me that shit.
Oh, brothers, you know Shiny going to have some roses sent to place somehow, some way for brothers listening to this show, because she's speaking real. Now, give me one or two examples, whether it was you, yourself, a close girlfriend, sister, cousin, somebody you know, or yourself. Give me one or two examples of what you could categorize as some of the worst behavior you've ever witnessed exhibited by a black woman towards a black man.
Okay, so I mentioned this on Dean's show one time, and I don't know if a lot of people have watched, Being Mary Jane. And it was something that she did in the show that was like the grimiest thing, and I regret I did it myself. But I know personally what I've done was, you know, after a guy left, condom was there, I was so determined to be pregnant. I didn't care about the guy. I didn't care about anything else. I was being so determined to have this child out of selfish acts that I did use the condom that he just ejaculated in so that I could get pregnant. Now, I know a lot of y'all are going to say, ew, but when Mary Jane did that on TV, there was about 100 women that I know who also did the same thing. Even if a female pokes a hole in a condom, that's still the same thing. There are some grimy things that I've done. That's why I say I can be honest with myself, with my past, and know that we're lying. I know the lies we told because I told them. I did it out of selfish reasons. I really couldn't take care of a child, but I wanted to have a child for selfish desires. I wasn't happy with myself at that moment, and a lot of these women who do the things that they do, they're doing it out of selfish desires. You know, they have one baby. You know, they got pregnant by whatever dude they got pregnant by. The next thing you know, they're sleeping with somebody else because dude left, and then they get pregnant by that dude. Then they turn around and they have a relationship with a female because they're trying out something new, so they say. Really, again, it goes back to personal accountability. They're not satisfied with who they are on the inside. And I had my deepest, darkest moment when I got the condom and did that very same thing. We do it all the time. We just don't tell you guys about it.
Lord Lust in my chat room said, God bless this woman. You know, it's funny you're talking about that. I was just talking about stuff related to women wanting to get pregnant, just to be getting pregnant. I was watching, if you heard my lead-in song, it was the song, sample from the song Scrubs by TLC. And they had the TLC story on the other day. And it was an enjoyable story. I heard there was some inaccuracies in it, but it was an enjoyable story. Anyway, one thing that kind of bothered me that was typical of something that men criticize, and you just pretty much alluded to this, was there was one stretch of scenes where they show that the woman named Chili in the group had a big crush on her producer, Dallas Austin. And she started witnessing that he was basically this big player. He was, you know, he wasn't trying to be monogamous with her. Now, you would think, as much as you hear women say, oh, I can't stand men who are womanizers and chase skirts and blah, 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 you would think that would make her say, okay, let me leave him alone. But not only did she stick with him, but she very badly wanted to get pregnant by him. Matter of fact, she got pregnant by him twice. First time she got pregnant by him, he ended up kind of more or less talking her into getting an abortion for the sake of her career. And then later on, she got pregnant by him again, and she went ahead and had the baby. But what was interesting, once she had the baby, she didn't want nothing to do with him no more then.
You want to know why? Because at that point, when she saw that the females were after him, it wasn't about him anymore. He was just a pawn in the play of the game of chess. It was a competition towards the other females. I got pregnant by him. I got his baby. What you got, bitch? That's what it is. It's no longer about the guy. When you start seeing females pawn all over you and stuff like that, you are the pawn. However, you're being used and manipulated for another game that most women will not tell you men about. We're competing against other females. The way we dress, competition towards other females, so I can have more men look at me. So I want to be the top bitch. That's really what it is. And I hate to burst some egos, fellas, you know, I'm sorry. But it's really a competition because the woman, again, feels insecure about who she is. So she will beat every person down to get to the top point and end up being the top queen. But again, she's not a queen. She's a queer. She's an idiot. She's lost all respect. She done went through so many dudes just to be at the top, but yet she doesn't even realize in her mind that she's at the very bottom, beneath the bottom. She's scrub. She's a scrub herself. She don't want no scrubs, but honey, you a scrub. You have to do all that to prove to another female that you got this? Oh, you ain't got nothing. At all.
Yeah,
not
you
even
know, they kind of, very briefly, they kind of actually depicted what you're talking about. Because there's a scene where she's in, if you saw it, when she's like shopping or something with T-Boz, and then the other woman is there, and she's like, why does this woman keep staring at me? And then the other woman's like, I'm pregnant with Dallas' baby. And then it's like that made her want to get pregnant even more. So I could see that what you're basically describing, that they had that like competition. Like one was like, yeah, bitch, I got his baby in my stomach. And it's like Chili was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get his baby, his seed in my stomach. But I just, from a man, I just thought it was just, I was like tripping. I mean, it didn't totally surprise me because I've heard of those type of scenarios. And that's one of the things men a lot of times will complain about. Matter of fact, you know one, Squid is real big on stuff related to this, about women wanting to get pregnant by a guy. They're not really into the guy. They're not really even, you know, in love with the guy. They just really want to get pregnant by the guy. And but, yeah, that came across in that movie. Like, it's like, Chili, when she got pregnant, again, she was basically like to that guy Dallas, like, okay, fuck it, I don't need you now. I got your baby in my stomach. You can go on about your way now. And I was like, what the fuck?
She manipulated the situation, then she gets the check because now that check is security for her. She knew she wasn't going to last that long in the entertainment industry. But take that outside of the entertainment industry and put it in our black community. It's the same thing. That same put it on Shaniqua or put it on Tiffany or put it, it's the same thing. And yet and still you see so many single women out there who are living that same lifestyle. They're not happy, they're not satisfied, they've missed their opportunity because they use their energy towards the wrong thing.
Okay, well, one final question before I take intermission break and then introduce my next guest. Give me 2 to 3 specific qualities that you think black women need to either improve upon or completely eliminate from their personality and behavior.
Eliminate attitude. Eliminate the blame game. Work on submission. Keyword, submission. I'm going to add another one, accountability. Before you can get into any kind of relationship, look in the mirror and start taking care of you first. Like attracts like. You're going to attract the type of guy that you need in your life. Not the kind you want to use to get what you need, but the kind that is very the perfect mate for you, the perfect match. But get rid of the drama, the attitude, the funky, whatever that is. Get rid of all the other stuff that I mentioned and work on being submissive. And by submissive, you spoke about this last. It's not to the point to where you're bowing down and kowtowing to the dude, but it's being humble and understanding that there is a position for me in this relationship as a woman. It's not that I wear the pants and I control this relationship. There's always a head. The head is going to be the man. We can't take that man position. Our body's not made for that. So it's the work on the submission part and the accountability. And the rest will work out.
Oh, now see, as the host, I'm trying to be neutral and, you know, kind of the moderator of the debate. But, damn, sister, you bringing it, man. You bringing it. Somebody said put them on together. That will be in the third segment of the show. So that will be coming up. I'm about to take an intermission break now. Then I'm going to introduce my second guest. Then we're going to talk for about roughly 25 minutes. Then I'm going to take another intermission break. Then I'm going to have them both on at the same time, and I'm going to alternate questions. So right now I'm going to take an intermission break, and when I get back, I will be introducing my second guest for the evening and get her thoughts. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex appeal. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Nikki Ransom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Alan.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Thanks for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again, Phil.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister's name.
Okay. Well, I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I'm going to a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp stage if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my discussion about black men and black women in today's dating scene with Miss Shani Fenderson and Miss Deborah Cooper, a.k.a. Miss Heartbeat, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I got Black Man USA in my chat room, Diva362636 in my chat room. I got Fly Ty in my chat room. I got Frankie in my chat room. I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got I Love My Mitts in my chat room. I got Lord Lust in my chat room. I got my guest, who I'm about to introduce, in my chat room. I got Sex Let's Make It Better in my chat room. I got Wesley Boyd in my chat room. I got Susan De Jesus. I know I'm mispronouncing that, but I just love saying it like that. Susan De Jesus. And before I introduce my next guest, I'm going to take a quick call from area code 765. 765, you're now Upfront and Straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, what's your question or comment?
Yes, sir. Alan Roger Curry, my question or comment is that notice that in China and Asia, when the man comes in the house, the woman gets to bowing. And I'm kind of wondering, I know culture has a major, major influence over the situation, the black community. So, yes, you know, we have a situation of dysfunction, but there's got to be a lot of blame has to go to the culture, because you look at the white people and black people, I mean, our divorce rates, things of that nature are very, very similar. Even our out-of-wedlock birth rate are getting very close. So how much of this is just the culture that's causing the problem? That's my question.
Well, I don't know if I have the expertise personally to answer that question, but I can give my opinion. One thing, and a lot of people on YouTube and the internet have talked about this, but one thing I find is different in our culture versus, say, some of the other cultures, Caucasians and Asians, Hispanic, is that a lot of other cultures, they subscribe to a patriarchal status relationship, basically meaning that the man is the head of the household. Whereas among a lot of black folk, a good percentage of us subscribe to a matriarchal type family structure,
where the woman a lot of times, because I think one reason because you have so many single moms, is that, yeah, it's that the woman either should be the head or by default becomes the head. And the problem I have, and I can't get too long-winded because, you know, for time purposes, I got to get to my second guest, but I personally think that women, a lot of young women aren't held to the same fire that men are. Like, a lot of men, I'm sure you would agree with this, from the time you were young, you were taught to one degree or another to respect women. You know, my mother brought and grandmother brought me up to have a certain degree of respect for women.
Yep.
I never hear women tell me that they were brought up, and particularly black women, brought up to respect black men, you know. And you got households where mom might be saying, oh, black men ain't shit, they ain't this, they lazy, and, you know. So I think that's where it all starts for all of us, men and women, particularly black men and black women. We start with what we see in our own families and in our extended family. And if you don't see black men being respected in your family or in your, you know, your circle, then it's going to be challenging. And yeah, I think a lot of black women grow up not seeing a strong father. See, in my family, my father was a very intelligent black man. He was the first black graduate of Indiana University's optometry school, and, you know, he's very articulate, and he was together. And my mother, you know, she let him lead the household. And like Shani was saying in the previous segment about you can be submissive without being a doormat, my mother was not a doormat by no stretch of the imagination, but she was generally submissive to my father. She recognized that he was the head of the household. He was the final decision maker.
Yes, sir. And then you notice how when the Bible talks about who can find a virtuous woman, God knows there's ratchet women out here. So the challenge for man is who can find that woman. Every man's not going to get that virtuous woman. That man's got to find that woman. So that this idea that men should wait for women to approach them, I don't like that idea. But it's God knows there's ratchet women out here. That's why I even put that there. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's man's job to find the right woman. That's our responsibility. And God bless you, brother. You have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
All right.
And now I'm going to get to introducing my second guest now. I mentioned last week that me and the Steve the Dean Williams, we're cool now, but we've had our share of falling outs. And I'm going to confess right now that my second guest is in the same category. We cool now, but man, we've had our share of falling out. Well, really, we haven't had, I shouldn't say our share. It ain't like we had multiple. We just had one big falling out, because we were real cool in 2008, 2009, very early 2010. Then we had a falling out in 2010, kind of didn't really speak to each other for a couple years, and then we got cool again. Now, I definitely wanted her on this show because she doesn't mince words when it comes to criticizing black men. she goes in on black men like probably no other host I can think of on Blog Talk Radio. But she is a prolific writer. She is an author. Her most well-known book is called Sucker Free Love, How to Avoid Dating the Dumb, the Deceitful, the Dastardly, the Dysfunctional, and the Deranged. That's a lot of D's, boy. Yeah, she's giving women advice on what men to avoid. She got two books coming out soon. One is 101 Dating Mistakes, and another one I like is about improving your ass. It's for women. It's just called, you know, I forget it. It's about improving your ass. You know, brothers love them some ass. So I give her kudos for writing that book. It kind of goes away from her normal dating and relationships genre. But she's been known for years for being very outspoken with her opinions on dating and relationships in general, and particularly the problems between black men and black women. Her main site is Surviving SurvivingDating.com. SurvivingDating.com. She also works as a public speaker, and she's been a relationship panelist and for different functions in various cities across the country. So, listeners, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, give it up for Ms. Debra Cooper, a.k.a. Ms. Heartbeat. What so, is up, Miss Cooper?
You so stupid.
Why I gotta be stupid? Why I gotta be stupid?
Oh, I don't know. Just like, you know, I'm just glad that we're talking again. What's up? What's up,
yeah,
my brother?
Yeah, yeah. Because, well, I ain't going to get it all that dry. I was going to give my listeners a reason why.
Let's not go.
But I ain't going to even go there. But, yeah, but I will say, yeah, again, prior to us, like I said, we were real cool because back around 2008, 2009, she was on my show as either a guest or a guest co-host two or three times, and I was a guest on her show about two or three times, and she's a type, I'm sure all of us can relate to that friend, that some people can be our friend, but we just have a lot of differences of opinion. Like, I might think Michael Jordan the greatest, and a friend of mine might say Magic Johnson or Larry Bird the greatest. And we argue about it, but
Kobe.
We still can be cool about it.
Kobe, damn it. It's Kobe, Kobe.
Oh,
y'all
Lord.
Y'all wrong, both of y'all.
But yeah, that's how me and Debra, that would be the best way to describe it. I mean, personally, on a personal level, I have no beef with her. She has no beef with me. But philosophically, when it comes to dating relationships, two-thirds, three-fourths of the time, I'm on one end of the stick, she on the other, and we disagreeing. I'm going to start off by asking you the question, similar question to what I asked my first guest, Shani. Only it would be kind of, well, yeah. Here's the question. If, let's say it was universally determined from research and observation that you couldn't attribute 50% of the blame for relationship problems on black men and 50%, because that would be too diplomatic to say, that's 50% men's fault, 50%. So if you had to give at least 60% of the blame to one gender, and this is really rhetorical because I already know your answer, which gender would you blame more for the problems in black relationships, black men or black women?
Men.
Okay, okay, that's what I expected. That's what I expected.
You already knew the answer to that question.
Okay, I guess just like I did with Shani, ask you for specifics. Give me at least 2 to 3 reasons why you think black men are more to blame for a lot of the problems in romantic relationships in the African American community than black women are.
Leadership. Let's start there.
Okay.
Black men want to throw the Bible out there as the reason why you should be submissive. Even though they ain't married to you, they haven't assumed any responsibility for anything. They haven't stepped up to the plate in any way, shape, or form. Yet they want you to submit because, A, that's what the Bible says. Number two is, even if that is what the Bible says, it specifically says husband. Black men are not marrying black women in any large number. So that automatically eliminates you from being in the category of deserving, wanting, being, you know, being entitled to anything, any kind of loyalty, submissiveness, or anything else from a woman. She's not your wife. You don't get that. You're not entitled to that. Number three, the violence. Black men are the most, they're like animals. They go through neighborhoods, they shoot. Look at Chicago. It's unbelievable what's going on there. It's like a fucking war zone. That's what we call it, Blackistan. The murder rates of African Americans in the United States is higher per year than what the number of people have been murdered in Afghanistan, which is technically a war, for the whole number of years that war has, quote, war has been going on. We usurp that number every single year. More black men, in case you guys don't understand what I'm saying, more black people die in the United States in a non-war zone, non-war country every year than has died in the entire Afghanistan war. Please understand what I'm telling you. This is what we call Afghanistan. I mean, what we call Blackistan because of the, you know, play on words to Afghanistan war. So when I look at that and I look at the number of reports coming across my computer, because I have these Google alerts, of the number of black men who are killing black women, who are killing black men, who are molesting and killing black children. The violence of black men is out of control. So I can't say that any woman, I cannot say that any woman should be involved herself for her own life and the safety of her herself and her children with a black male. I wouldn't say it. I couldn't advise it because statistics are really, really scary. And that's those are my three things.
Okay. Let me recap that real quick. You say black men are more to blame for the problems in relationships. Number one is that they are demanding loyalty and submissiveness without being willing to propose to a woman and make that woman their wife. So if the man is not a woman's husband, he doesn't deserve to request submissiveness or loyalty. Secondly, you said they are prone, statistics show that they are prone to violence, and you think that puts both the black woman in harm's way as well as the children they may have together in harm's way. What was the third thing?
The third thing is the violence.
Oh, I said that already. I said the no husbands and the violence. So that's two for me. What's the third?
So that was number one, and that was number three. And number two... Well, I forgot. But anyway, bottom line is there's the expectation that a woman should submit to them because of the Bible. There is the violence, and there, in my mind, there is the manipulation and the attempt to control women. And the very fact that they think that because they have a penis, that entitles them to tell women what to do, what to wear, how to be, and everything else. And if a woman doesn't want to do it, there are even, cases of the women and her children being killed by black men because they are losing control. So those are, you know, the key issues that I wrestle with on a weekly basis.
Okay. Kind of time out for a second, Ms. Heartbeat. I'm having some issues here. My chat room went from about 20 to 25 people to about 65 people. And it seems like most of the people who've come in here are saying some crazy stuff. So you're probably going to see me booting some people out because they saying some, I don't play the stuff, the racist stuff, you know, coming in here and, you know, saying all this crazy stuff. It's weird. I'm wondering where all these people came from all of a sudden. Like I said, I was introducing
I
you,
you,
I
all I can tell you, Alan, is I bring a crowd wherever I go.
Oh,
I'm not
Lord.
Saying that the crowd
okay.
is positive. I'm a very controversial figure, so I can't really say that everything that follows me is positive. I can't say that. Some people just come, you know, just to start a bunch of mess, so.
Okay, so, give me, as I asked my first guest with women, I'm going to ask you with black men, what's an example, it could have been you, sister, close friend, whatever, give me, like, at least one example of what you would arguably categorize as some of the worst behavior you've ever seen a black man exhibit towards a black woman?
Oh, I've seen many things, not to mention seeing personally, but, you know, gotten advice, letters into my advice column, shall I say, from women all over the world. But what I think bothers me the most is the the repeated, how do I put this delicately? Let's see. Well, basically,
well, you know,
this is
up front and straightforward, so you don't have to be delicate.
I know, but I forgot where I was. Basically, these men are sexual perverts. They molest young girls. They impregnate them. They sexually abuse them. And it's not just girls, it's boys. So I am looking at, this is a hush-hush thing in the black community, but several years ago I started doing a survey on sexual abuse in the black community. I have hundreds of responses from men and women, and people, each one of them, I'd say probably 80% say, you know, I've never told anybody this, but this is what happened to me when I was a kid, and then they share the story. So this is a widespread problem in the black community, but it's kept quiet because we don't, quote, want folks to know our business. And people have, like, the uncle, the grandfather, they don't want their kids around this person. They're like, oh, no, you can't go over there to their house with that unless I'm there, this kind of thing. But they don't turn the person into the police, and they don't tell it. So we have, within the black community, large numbers of pedophiles. And so that, I think, is one of the things that really, really bothers me the most, because it affects so many young men and women, you know, kids. And then they grow up to be people who have some severe emotional and mental problems because of the abuse that they suffered. That, I have to put that at the top of my list.
Okay. If you had to identify 2 to 3 areas that you feel black men need to step their game up, improve themselves, or some habits or qualities they may need to eliminate, what would those be?
The thought that they need to game on women. This is not only, I can't even tell you how many times I've heard younger guys say that the older black men teach them this. They teach them negative treatment of women, so that this behavior is perpetuated in the black community by people who are supposed to be our elders. They're supposed to be teaching young men how to act, to elevate our community, to treat each other with respect. That's not what happens. They're teaching the younger guys to lie, to manipulate, to game on, to use women for sex, money, and whatever else they can get out of them. And I think that's criminal. Because what we have is, you know, how are we ever going to really advance as a race and advance our communities if we have half of the community, you know, trying to bring down the other? It's like there's this infighting. And so, I look at that and I think, wow, this is just a shame. I don't know what to do. I don't have a son. I just have a daughter. So, you know, it's really sad, Alan.
Okay, I'm sorry for all these interruptions, Deborah, but, okay, I'm having some problems now. One of my loyal female listeners said that she was banned from my chat room, and she didn't even say anything. Who's doing this banning? BTR reps? I see some BTR reps in here. What's going on? I mean, if somebody's being disruptive, I want them muted and or banned. But if people are not even saying anything that's controversial, I don't understand what's going on. Like, for example, Diva is one of my top listeners. Why is she – it says Diva is muted by admin for breaking the rules. What's going on? I need to know what's going on.
Oh, I see
this
that.
Is,
I don't know. I can't
yeah,
even.
Is,
I didn't
well,
see
when
it.
I'm asking, I wasn't actually asking you, Deborah, but I'm asking these. I see because there's a couple of people from that have BTR labels, and I'm wondering what are they doing? Because, I do not want my loyal listeners being banned or muted. Now, a lot of these anonymous users that I don't know, if they're saying something controversial or being disruptive, yeah, go ahead. But I don't want my loyal listeners being tampered with. That bothers me. Okay, so you have spoken your piece about black men, and Shani has spoken her piece about black women. So what I'm going to do now is take a brief intermission break. And when I get back, I will take some phone calls and I will be having both of my guests on the phone lines at the same time. I'm going to invite them to make kind of rebuttal comments, for lack of a better term, to each other's comments if they choose to. And I'm going to have some questions for both guests. But right now, I'm going to take another intermission break, and I will return. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know that literally my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny, it's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny, I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life, and he also put it in, and he said, and you know what, I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Thank you.
now return to my discussion about black men and black women in today's dating scene with Miss Shani Fenderson and Miss Deborah Cooper, a.k.a. Miss Heartbeat, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm a little ticked off. I'm going to make that clear. Because some administrators from two things happened. First, I went from having about 25 chat room users to about 65 in a matter of like 3, 4, 5 minutes. And most of them were people I've never seen in my chat room before. And some of them said some crazy shit. But then, even more so, I had some Blog Talk Radio administrators or network moderators, whatever, start muting and or banning some of my most, like, loyal and enthusiastic listeners. I got to tell you, BTR, I'm not cool with that shit. I don't like that. You know, I don't like that at all, so I'm going to be filing a complaint about that. Don't fuck with my loyal listeners. You know, these anonymous people, if they saying crazy, because I know my loyal listeners, they don't say crazy stuff. They might express an opinion, but they ain't saying nothing like just crazy. But some of these other people coming in here saying some crazy shit. But, yeah, don't be muting or blocking people who listen to my show on a week-to-week basis. What the fuck? That pissed me off. Anyway, if you haven't been listening to the entire show, what we're talking about tonight is who is more to blame for the problems in romantic relationships between black men and black women, the demise of relationships between black men and black women. And I have two guests on that have differing opinions. One guest, her name is Shani Fenderson, and she puts at least 60% of the blame on the black woman. Her main criticisms are black women love drama. They gravitate towards drama-filled relationships. They do not like to take accountability for the flaws and weaknesses in their own character and their own behavior and the problems they create. They always want to point the finger at someone else, and they tend to have a bad attitude towards the idea of submitting to a man. They even more so, they even want to run shit. They don't want to, not only do they not want to submit to a man, but they want to be the one in charge. So that was generally Shani's criticisms. And then Deborah subsequently came on and expressed her strong opinions. Her main criticisms of men is, well, she, number one, she puts at least 60% of the blame for the problems of black relationships on the men. And she said black men's problems is that, number one, they want black women to be loyal to them and obedient and submissive to them without offering a long-term monogamous commitment, particularly within the context of marriage. Number two, she said black men have a history of violence tendencies, you know, physically abusing black women as well as to some degree black children, and that by being so violent that they put black women and the children they might share with black women in harm's way. And she also talked about that black men also have some degree, at least a certain percentage of them have some degree, a history of sexual perversion or pedophilia, sexual assault, and that type of thing. So what I'm going to do now for the remaining segment is a combination of two things. One, I'm going to be opening up my phone lines to those listeners who have been listening to the whole show and want to either ask a question or make a comment. And also, I have at least a handful of questions I want to throw at both Deborah and Shani. Well, the first thing I want to do
with Shani. Well, first I'm going to take a call, but after I take a couple of calls, I want to ask Shani if she has any rebuttal comments for anything Deborah said, and Deborah, if she has any rebuttal comments for anything Shani said. But first, I want to go to my phone lines. Let's see, 843. I know who 843 is. That's T. Smitty. T. Smitty is a man of strong opinions himself. Now, are you still just listening, or do you have a question, a comment?
Yes, I do have strong opinions. Hope everyone's doing okay. those are lovely 84 degrees out here in Phoenix. But,
oh, quit bragging.
But I do have a question, though.
Okay.
Hopefully I don't turn it to. I not fault anyone for their views because everyone's entitled to their views. And no one's views ever get me worked up. But my question is, if black men, I have an old hell, before I was born, had black men were this bad, didn't want to take care of home, irresponsible, violent, always in jail, pushing drugs, woman, a big womanizer, womanizers, my bad, and all that stuff. My question is, why are those men still the most desirable? Why are these men still being chosen as fathers? Why are these men the ones that a lot of these women getting with and finding the most desirable? And that's just a question I have. And I've always been wanting to figure out, because a lot of times fellas will tell a dude, man, that woman's bad news, stay away from her. But I also said this about the womanizer thing real quick. A lot of times a lot of boys grow up being told, be nice to women, respect women, hold doors, you know, buy these dinners, do all this stuff, put your jacket over the puddle of water, all that stuff. But a lot of those guys get put into the friend category, while the same guys a lot of these women complain about are the ones getting action. And then you have those guys telling them, I told you don't be nice to them. So the problem is, in my opinion, is why should that man treat that woman like a queen or goddess of respect if she doesn't command that respect? Now, I know some do, because I ran up on some.
Okay, can I ask this question? Because you're kind of being ridiculous.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm almost done.
You only got 30 minutes, so I want to get, you know, get it moving.
All right, cool. Go ahead.
Okay, T. I got you. The bottom line is, A, the guys who do those things feel like they're entitled. You ain't entitled to shit. The rules still apply. The woman has to be attracted to you, just like you need to be attracted to her. Men always think that attraction goes one way. They think, if I have a job, I have an education, I clean my ass, I do all the stuff, that, you know, they're deserving of the woman that they want. No, she still has to be attracted to you, just like you have to be attracted to her. All those standards that you have about, well, she got to look like this, her hair got to be like this, her booty got to be like this, she got to talk like this, she can't have no kids, all of those stuff, the same rules apply on the other side. And that's the part that really kills me about men. You guys think that you, what you want and what you think and what you like is supposed to be given to you just because you want it. It doesn't work like that. That is some sociopathic bullshit. So the bottom line is, when a woman, she likes what she likes. And if she ain't checking you, then she's not on your radar. So coming on a situation like this and thinking about it and talking about those women, those aren't women for you. They're not on your level. They don't like you. They're not interested in you, whatever. So it's irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Don't even talk about them. It's like talking about Claudia Schiffer or some big-time model or something. She ain't on your level either. Stop talking about people who are not checking you. Talk about the women are about you.
Now, Deborah, I got to jump in because I understand a lot of what you're saying, but I fully understand what T. Smith said, because, matter of fact, anybody who's familiar with my books knows what you said, T. Smith, was over half the reason why I initially wrote Mo 1. Because as I explained in my book, that was kind of what I was experiencing. See, my mother, and I love my late mother to death, but a lot of her advice hurt me. She was one of those that said, you know, basically be a well-mannered gentleman, be on your P's and Q's with women. And what I found, I was getting a lot of on the positive end, I was getting a lot of compliments from that type of behavior, that well-mannered gentleman behavior, but I wasn't getting no pussy. Whereas on the flip side, when I just start being more of a cocky womanizer type motherfucker that was really bold and straightforward with women about what I really wanted from them, which was the pussy, I got criticized more, but I started getting a hell of a lot more pussy. And so I'm feeling you, T-Smitty.
If that's your goal in life, that's fine. If your goal
I wouldn't say it's my goal in life, but
what
I tell men is this, and this is also where I would bring up my criticism of men. I have criticism of both genders. I don't like men who give women the impression that they want a long-term romantic relationship when they know they just want some ass for X number of days, X number of weeks. And that's the essence of all one. I'm saying that if you know for a fact that all you want is some pussy in a casual sex type of context, then straightforwardly say that shit. And again, for me, when I start straightforwardly saying that shit, I got criticized by a large number of women, but I was getting some pussy. Whereas when, as T. Smitty was talking about, when I was playing that, you know, Mr. Nice Guy role, you know, women would say, oh, Ellie, you're a sweetheart. Oh, you're so nice. But I wasn't getting
that
no pussy.
That shit never worked.
That shit, so,
hey,
anyway, I'm just saying that I feel where T. Smith's come from because, yeah, the nice guy shit is bullshit. It's bullshit.
It is.
I tell any man willing to listen. I always like to clarify, I'm not suggesting that a guy be a quote-unquote total asshole or jerk with a woman. I'm not suggesting that at all. My book doesn't suggest that. What I simply suggest is that you be real and authentic about your desires, interests, and intentions. Don't try to bullshit women when you know, basically, when you know you want casual sex. Don't try to act like you want a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And also thing I'm saying, then I'll shut up, but that I feel T. Smitty saying is that what I witness among a lot of women is you might have a woman, let's say a woman named Michelle, and she'll meet this guy named Tyrone. And everybody knows Tyrone's a womanizer and a semi-part-time drug dealer and just has a lot of flaws. And guys like, say, me and T. Smitty might be like, well, why is Michelle even attracted to this motherfucker, Tyrone? But then she'll fuck around with Tyrone, and as soon as he lets his real stripes show, he fucks over her. Then next thing you know, that same Michelle was telling her girlfriends, all black men ain't shit. I fucked around with Tyrone.
But you know what?
And he slapped me and whatever.
You guys act like all the guys who come across as, quote, good black men have never bullshitted or heard a lie to a woman. See, that's the flaw in your logic. You put men into two categories. As a woman, we can tell you, those motherfuckers that come around in your face talking about I'm a good black man are just as crazy, just as violent, lie just as much, and play just as many games. So from the woman's perspective, there's no difference. All y'all are exactly the same. If you come with a dick, you are exactly the same as all the other dicks. You all lie like anything if it's a pussy involved. So I don't even want to hear it.
If there's a pussy involved?
Oh, yeah, but maybe not you, Alan. Maybe not you because of your Moe 1 stance. But I'm telling you, all the guys who haven't heard of Moe 1 lie like fucking dogs. That's all they do. And they lie. They pretend to want a relationship. They pretend she's the only one. They pretend they love her. All kind of stuff in order to get the draw. And I know you don't advocate that. I know that. I understand that about you, and I appreciate that. But you are not these millions of dudes out here. These dudes don't like anything.
Hey, I say this before I go.
Uh-huh.
She's actually right. You know me and you talk about it. Hell, Deborah and Shawnee know how I am. I tell women straight up to their faces, I don't want a relationship. I don't want to get married. I don't want children. The funny part about that is so many of them will still get with me anyway. And mind you, I told them at the beginning, but so many get mad when I don't change my mind. And now I ain't shit. I was
that's what I'm talking about.
But
go ahead,
as long as you tell them, then you okay with me.
Yeah.
You okay with me? You on my good side because you told them. But we're not talking about you. We're not talking about Alan. You two people. We're talking about the millions out there that don't do that. They lie. And so, you know, they put stuff in a situation where they want to manipulate women, and that is the majority. The minority is what you guys are talking about. Alan, you know, we talked about this. We talked about this. That is not the majority, and you know it.
I would agree with that. That's why my books sell the way they sell, because I target the guys. The guys you're criticizing is actually who I target with my books. But
yeah.
That said, I guess my follow-up question / comment would be, one reason I wrote my fourth book, in the same way I would say my one is geared towards men that aren't good at telling the truth, my fourth book, which is called The Possibility of Sex, How Naive and Lustful Men Get Manipulated by Women Regularly, it targets the women. There's equally a lot of women, and Shani alluded to this, if not flat out talked about it, there's a lot of women who kind of run a similar game. In the same way guys run game on women to get the pussy, there's a lot of women who run game to get financial favors or simply to get entertaining social companionship. Like, I know a lot of women who will basically give a man an impression they want to give him some pussy just to get him to be their new platonic friend. I've had a lot of men get duped that way. Or the most obvious and most known way is women duping men for money. Like, I had a guest on my very show, this woman named Beige Fletcher. She came on my show and basically admitted that that's what she was all about, is making men think that they was going to get some ass so those guys would spend money on her. And once those guys spent money on her, she was through with them. So, yes, you're right in your criticisms of men who lie about wanting a relationship when they really just want some ass. I totally will acknowledge that. Again, that's what my books are targeted toward. But there's also a lot of women out here who play a hell of a lot of fucking games with men. So now I want to ask...
Wait. No, we can go back. Let's address that before you move on.
Okay.
If men did not approach women with their dick in their hand, then women wouldn't have that power. But see, you all are easy to read because you are all the same. You all want some pussy. So
hell yeah,
we
all want some pussy.
Right.
That's
so
a
what
given.
I'm saying is, once you come at a woman like that, she got you. It's like if she's a smart woman, she gonna take you for everything that you got. And so it's like you guys don't get it. The only way that you're gonna get these, though, if you want a relationship, do not approach a woman with your dick in your hand. Don't do that. If you want a relationship, keep your dick in your pants and deal with her on a different level. So if so I hear guys say this all the time, but once you approach her with some stuff about some pussy and what kind of panties you like and all this old dragon drama that dudes come with, she's going to nix you and put you in the get everything you can from him category. Y'all set yourself up for that. You do that to yourself. You do that.
Hey, Shani, I know you've been quiet. What's your thoughts about everything that's been said to this point?
I was wondering if my mic was open. I
apologize. We've been kind of leaving you out. Well, first, let me ask you two questions kind of in one. First, as far as a lot of the things that Deborah said in her segment about black men, I want to ask you, do you have any, like, disagreements with anything she said, any kind of, like, rebuttal comments? So that would be question number one. And then, secondly, anything that we talked about from the end of her segment, like the stuff with T. Smitty, any thoughts you might want to add in?
Well, the rebuttal thing first, I want to go ahead and say that the only way a lie works is if you attract that lie. If you're living a life full of lies, that lie is going to come to you. You as a woman, anybody who's listening, has the responsibility to knock it, stop it at the door. But when you gravitate towards that means you're lying about yourself. There's something in you that you have not fixed, and you're denying that, and you're taking it out on these men as if it's the man's fault. Where is our responsibility? Where is our accountability as women? Why are we running away that we also have an issue? Why can't we fix us first? Why do we have to fix men? Why do we need to take care of them and baby them like we did, you know, like a baby mama does with a two-year-old? Why do we have to have a relationship where we fix a man? Fix us first. As women, how come we can't do that? Why is that an issue? And then my second thing is, Smitty asked the question that it had gotten brushed over, and the question was, I'm not even going to go there. My question is...
I want you, see, you know now, I want you to go there. That's what this show is about, people going there. I want you to go wherever you were going to go.
My question is, if men are the issue, what is the resolution? What do we do to fix it? you know, we see women, and Smitty did bring up, you know, he doesn't want children and all that. Who is the first person that grooms this child? The mother, from the age of, from the womb to 5 years old. When the daddy's not there, who still grooms this child into a man, a female? So if it's the female that's causing the problem, throwing this man out there, expecting him to be a man, actually the man that she desired or wanted, how is this going to be fixed if he wasn't the initial problem? She is the problem. She's the baby mama. She's going to keep that baby or that boy or that child in child position. She's not allowing him to grow and to learn. She's pushing the daddy out of the way. She's not giving him the tools that he needs, the daddy, and saying, I'd rather be the one in control of this entire relationship and your future. And then this is the outcome that we have, this ain't no shit man. Well, if you're grooming all these little boys to be ain't no shit men, who's at fault? The woman. It's not the man. That's all I wanted to say on that part.
Okay. I want to give a quick warning to those in my chat room. One thing I noticed with my show this season as opposed to previous seasons, they now will cut my show off at the two-hour mark. Even if my show might be going 2.5 hours or 3 hours, they cut it off at the two-hour mark. So I'm letting you chat room users know that two things. One, there's a 90% chance I'm probably going to go over 2 hours by at least 15 minutes to a half hour. So when you hear the archive podcast, you'll be able to hear the whole show. But as far as live, unless you call in, which is 646-478-5710, if you call in before the two-hour mark, you'll be able to hear the entire show we do. But if you're just listening through the chat room, I can guarantee you that at 12 midnight Eastern and 9 p.m. Pacific time, the show's just going to abruptly cut off. It's happened to me already 2 or 3 times. It's just going to cut off. So call in. If you want to listen past 12 midnight Eastern, past 9 p.m. Pacific, call in. I'll put the number in the chat room. It is 646-478-5710. I'm about to put that in the chat. Oh, Miss Heartbeat beat me to it. Yeah. Call. You got to call in before it hits the top of the hour. Otherwise, if you're listening through the chat room, you are not going to be able to hear anything. It's just going to cut off. But again, you'll be able to hear the whole show when it becomes an archive podcast. Okay, so now I asked Shani what some of her thoughts on what some of the things we talked about and specifically what Deborah talked about. Now I'm going to turn it to Ms. Heartbeat. Even though I know you got to the show a little late, so you might not have heard everything, but I think you got abreast of most of what Shani said. Do you have any major disagreements to anything Shani said, both in the initial segment as well as just a few minutes ago?
Well, I didn't hear all the, you know, initial segment. I mean, I logged on, but, you know, I got out of my suit and did all that old stuff because I, you know, was doing that presentation. I got out a lot. So I missed most of that. But what I just heard was she asked the question, you know, how do we fix it? How do we fix these men? We don't fucking fix them. See, that's the problem. Black women have assumed this responsibility for taking care of black men like they're fucking babies. They are supposed to be men. It's like this duplicity. On one hand, you say, well, they're supposed to be leaders. They're supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to submit to them and all stuff. But then we need to fix them. You can't have it both ways. If there's something that we need to fix, that means we're in charge. That means we're propping them up. That means we're guiding them. We're showing them the way. That is not a leader. That is a project. And I refuse to do projects. I don't do projects. I'm too fucking old. I'm in my 40s now. I don't do projects anymore. I did that when I was in my teens. Okay? I have a daughter who's 23. I'm done. I'm done with raising people's kids. And I'm certainly not going to raise a grown man. So to ask me, and any woman who is has high self-esteem and who understands who and what she is, what she's going to do to fix black men is a ridiculous comment. You do not fix a man. He is what he is, especially after the age of 22, 23 years old. That's it. He's done. It's a wrap. So whatever you see, whatever he is, whatever goals he has, whatever he thinks of himself, that's it. He's never going to change. He's never going to improve. He's never going to get any better unless he decides that's what he wants to do. Then he will change himself. But no woman has the power to do that. And so when I hear women say that, what are we going to do? We're going to assume. We gonna do? No, you're talking crazy. We're never going to do that. It's not our job to do it. And so, and
so
the other
question,
thing she said, wait,
question,
I'm not done. I'm not done. The other thing is
that
you said that the females are causing the problems with these men who's raising them and all this old stuff. That's drag and drama right there. Because if their nigga daddies was there, then the women wouldn't have to assume their role. They're doing it by default because there's no one else to do it. They're doing the best job that they can. And they're trying to be mother and father in a default situation. So if their daddies, who certainly laid up there and had a good old time making them damn babies, would step up to the plate and assume their responsibility as fathers as a man should, then these boys wouldn't have this problem. So to blame
I got to interrupt you on that one, Deborah. I hate to interrupt you, but one of the things, if you heard me talking to Shani, one of the things I brought up, I don't know if you saw the TLC story they had Now, see, surely, along the lines of what you just talked about, as soon as she got pregnant by Dallas, she didn't want him to be the fucking active father in her life.
Right.
She was basically like, nigga, you dismissed.
Right.
I got the baby now. I don't need you.
That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. What happens to women when they have a child is they grow up. You change. A lot of the stuff that you didn't see or the stuff that really didn't matter to you, once you're in this, like, mothers are like, I don't know how to say it. It's like you become like a protective, like a mother bear. And so when you have this baby and suddenly the baby is like, you know, that baby's relying on you for every single thing. When you are in that mode, that man becomes a threat. If he's not acting right, he's a threat to that baby. And so you get rid of him. It's the same with anything
else. See, now you're contradicting yourself, though.
No.
You're basically saying that black men need to be more active in their children's lives, but you're also validating why women be kicking them to the curb.
You need to be active in a proper sense. And notice later he was. He was responsible. He joined, you know, he would get his kid. He would do everything he was supposed to do. He had his weekends and all that stuff. But she put him on ice until he grew up because she saw him as more of a threat until he finished maturing to that child's safety and security that he was a benefit. And
why would she want to get pregnant by him anyway? That's what T. Smitty was talking about.
She loved
See, that's well, then that's what I'm criticizing. I think that's what Shani's criticizing.
In my mind,
she shouldn't want to be pregnant by a motherfucker like that if he needs to do all that growing up you're talking about. What the fuck she doing opening her legs to that motherfucker for?
That's not the point. Alan, he knew he didn't love her. He didn't want to be a father. Then what the hell are you doing going up in her bear?
Because he wanted some pussy.
That was his decision, though. So, see,
okay,
you can't put all
again,
that on her.
I will very much put it on all her.
We all can't talk. I'm going to say something quick. Then I'm going to let Shani talk. Then I'm going to let you talk again, Deb. My quick comment is, I'm sorry, but no woman, and again, this is what I feel like T. Smitty was alluding to. If a man ain't about shit, say he's either broke and unemployed, or he's an incorrigible womanizer, or a drug user, or alcoholic, or has violent tendencies, that woman, see, one thing that's different about men, and I'm generalizing a bit between women and men, is that a lot of men, we will have casual sex with a lot of women that ain't about shit. I would, more than admit that, acknowledge that. We would want to have, say, a one-night stand weekend fling with women who have a lot of flaws and issues, but we ain't trying to put no ring on no woman's finger, and we ain't trying to have no babies by women who ain't about shit. We just want to fuck them. Whereas a lot of women, they don't want to marry a motherfucker who ain't about shit. They don't want to have a baby with a motherfucker who ain't about shit. And that's what makes a lot of us men shake our fucking head. I have female friends I know right now that I'm looking like, what the fuck were you thinking about having a baby by this motherfucker? And now you call him a loser and saying he ain't shit. Why weren't you saying that when you was opening up your motherfucking legs? But what, because he has some good dick? There's a lot of there's homeless motherfuckers out here that probably got some good dick. That ain't enough to qualify you having a baby bomb. Anyway, Shani, give you 2 to 3 minutes, and then I'm back to Deb.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so, yes. Again, it's accountability. We do have that right to say no when before he even decides to put his leg, or, you know, put his thing up in us. We even, and this is how deceitful we are as women, and I don't know if you want to agree with me, Deborah, or not. Before we even think about laying with this dude, we want to have the baby. Why? Because, oh, he got pretty hair. Oh, I'm going to be secure with him. Or we got, this baby is going to look a certain way. Oh, my homegirl is pregnant. I want to be pregnant, too. We see that in Mississippi with all these teen girls getting pregnant, you know, one little town. All of them are doing this for stupid acts. The thought comes first in our mind. Now, as far as the point where you were saying any woman who says damn, I forgot the point because I was trying to interrupt when you were saying it. But I really was because I got frustrated. It's not, I don't know what this thing is about changing men. I'm not saying change men, but the first problem, the initial situation is with the female. And we're bringing these children into the world, trying to groom them and make them into the man that we desire them to be, i.e. the man that we wanted in our life that left us. We're the ones that do it. We're the ones that open our legs. We have that ability to say, no, I don't want to do it. We do have that ability. But when we're sitting there and saying after we got pregnant, given the, you know, and then having a baby 10 years later, or not even 10 years, as soon as a guy comes knocking on the door and we want, you know, I don't want you in my life. I don't want you in this child's life. You don't need to be here. You ain't about shit. You ain't about this. We've denied that little boy an opportunity to grow into being the man that he needs to be. It's not that we waited until 10 years later and said, oh, now he needs to come in. No, we denied that from day one. And I don't understand why we're sitting here and discussing the fact that no, that's not the case. That is the case. Personal accountability and responsibility lies within the female. From the moment she opens up her legs to the moment she denies that boy opportunity or man to see that child, that's the woman. And instead, what do? We run to a good old government for that little old check, thinking that we got it made. That's bull crap.
Hey, Shani, let me interrupt you for a second. As I have mentioned, BTR is about to cut off my show. If you're listening to me now in the chat room, you are about to be cut off. If you want to continue listening, you got to call in 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Otherwise, you will not be able to hear the remainder of the live portion. Again, once you hear it on archive, once this becomes an archive podcast, you'll be able to hear everything. But live, you will not, in the chat room, you will not be able to hear anything in about a minute or two because BTR is going to cut it off. So call in. Ms. Heartbeat has put the number in. Call in right now if you either just want to listen or if you have a question or comment. Now, if you have a question or comment, you need to press number one when you call in. If you have a question or comment, you need to press number one. Otherwise, I will assume you're just listening. So I wanted to make that clear. And now, I am speaking of the phone lines. I'm going to take a call from 818, who is Frankie, one of my loyal listeners. Frankie is up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my two guests, Ms. Shani Fenderson and Ms. Deborah Cooper, a.k.a. Ms. Heartbeat. What's your question or comment, Frankie?
What's going on, guys? What's going on? A couple things. Number one, I want to follow up on something that Deborah said early on. about the crimes and as related to black men committing crimes. And according to, I pulled this up, and I'm a white guy, so I like statistics. And according to the FBI 2011 report, total arrests in this country, 69.2% were white people. Uh-huh. And just those broken down into different categories like larceny, murder, yada, 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 you know, a lot of those are majority white. Now, of the sex offenses, like 72%, she mentioned like molestation or rape or something like that, 72% of those are white people. So my question is, with that said, my question is, what dynamic is it? What is it about black men and women that has you guys, I mean, you guys are black, so what has you guys in conflict with each other so much? What is it that causes you guys to have this strife with each other? Why can't we just accept the fact that there are good men, there are good women, there are lousy fathers, there are lousy mothers, there are good white people, there are good black people. You know, there's everything. It's all a mix. There's no, I mean, I don't see what the, you know, the, not the, a slight criticism on you, Alan. I don't know if making this about black men and black women really, you know, heals anything, because it just causes both sides to get more defensive. It makes you feel like you're being judged by the other side.
Well, if you heard me in my intro, I said I normally, over my last roughly little over 6 years I've been doing my show now, I rarely do black specific shows. Rarely do them. And but I get asked by certain listeners to do shows like this. And so basically I was asked to do this show because some people like to talk about this type of stuff. But for me personally, I said this already during the show, that at least 98% of my criticisms of men are of all men. And at least 97-98% of my criticisms of women are of all women. It's only maybe one or two criticisms I tend to have specifically of black women or specifically of black men. But most of my criticisms do tend to be universal. Now, to put one of my guests on the spot, Deborah, as she can tell you herself, on her show, she does a lot of shows that are specifically targeted towards criticizing black men. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted her as a guest to hear some of her thoughts and opinions, because she does. She doesn't hide the fact that she has a lot of, you know, harsh criticisms of black men. Whereas, again, in my defense, I don't usually target black men. Now, I don't think a show like this does harm per se, because like when I had Hill Harper on my show, he said something that I totally agree with, which is why he named one of his books The Conversation. And he said, anytime you having simply a conversation about what's going wrong between men and women, and particularly between black men and black women, is helpful. Even if most of the conversation is expressing criticisms and, you know, even some degree of insults or whatever, he said, as long as you talking about it, is to one degree or another therapeutic. He said the worst thing that can happen is when you guys say all the black women in somebody's basement talking shit about black men, and you got all the black men in somebody's basement talking shit about black women, but they ain't talking to each other. So that's what I'm trying to facilitate here. Now, I'm going to let Deb take a stab at your question about the whole crime-related stuff. And so, Deb, did you understand his question?
I did, but I want to counter it with some statistics of my own.
Okay.
Number one, black people are less than 14% of the United States population. However, when you look at the number of black women, because you know, white men don't really have access to large numbers of black women. So when you have access, you know, when you have crimes of a sexual nature against a black woman or a child, 99.9% of the time, it was committed by a black male. Now, the thing that is interesting about
crimes
sex
against
crimes,
children, you mean?
No, about
yeah,
women
domestic
against women
violence?
Too. Yeah, all of them, all of them. They're, white guys don't, you know, unless he's really, really into an interracial situation, he's not really going to have access to black women. He ain't going to come into a black neighborhood to, you know, try to rape a sister. You know, he's going to stand out like a sore thumb. So it's like that doesn't really happen. What happens is black men assault black women. Black men rape black women. Black women, men molest black children. So it's not going to be a statistic that's really going to apply to white men or any other race of men. This is a black-on-black crime. So you have, okay, black people are already less than 14% of the population, depending on the numbers that you read in which year of the census, you know, it's like 13%, 11%, whatever. So I just choose 14 and say down. Number two, FBI's and DOJ statistics say that, according to them, less than 16% of sexual assaults are reported to law enforcement. 16%. Mm-hmm. Okay. How many more is that that they never hear about? So those are races of all women. And in the black community, there's an additional factor in that African Americans do not trust police with good reason. So the number of women who are going to call the police and report a sex-based crime is reduced. What they tend to do, especially in a situation where it involves children, is hush it up and cover, and then just try to keep kids in the family away from that individual. There's a real need for black women to feel like they're protecting black men, and they don't want to put another black man behind bars. So they, you know, will kind of hush things up. But when you put all of those factors together, the number of sexual assaults in the black community are grossly underreported. Many of the young ladies, I did a survey on my website of sexual abuse and combat in the black community that I've been doing for 3 years. Many of the women who reported the crimes against them have noted on there, I never told anybody about this until now. So you have women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who never told anybody what happened to them. So I can't mm-hmm. say that it's a rare thing. From my perspective, it's extremely common. The statistics on that are publicized say, you know, 1 out of 4 women nationally is sexually assaulted before the age of 18. From my own experience over the last 20 years, all the women I've talked to, I have to say it's more like 5 out of 4. And that
5 out of 4?
5 out of 4, because some women have been assaulted multiple times.
You mean 4 out of 5?
They know. 5 out of 4. Because some women have been assaulted multiple times by multiple perpetrators and never reported to anyone. So that's what I'm looking at. And this is my unique position doing the work that I do. And I'm telling you, I can't go with those statistics. I think they're grossly inaccurate.
Okay, I mean, it just says 70%. All crimes are committed by white people. So I'm just saying that it's as big of a white problem as it is a black problem.
But you guys are more than 70% of the population, so that would be accurate. See what I'm saying? We're only less than 14% of the population. So, you know, you got to put that into perspective.
No, I'm just pointing out that it's just as much of a white problem as it is a black problem. It's not, you know, black men are bad.
But for black women, black men are bad. Because white men don't have access to us. See, that's what I'm saying. You're missing the point. If you're in an environment where white men don't get to you, then white men are the non-factor. What you're saying is irrelevant to the statistics, to the demographic that I'm speaking of. The primary assailant for black women and black girls is black men.
Well, no, the reason why I'm pointing the statistic out, I see what you're saying. You're talking about black on black. Crimes and whatnot. I see what you're saying, but it kind of goes back to the question that Alan was answering earlier. It's I want to know why there's this aggression between black men and black women. Like in my office, a lot of the black women don't really talk to the black men. And in my life, I've had several black friends, and there has been this element. It's really a question, I guess, because the statistic is not to disprove you, but it's just to set up that question. If the crime the white people commit a lot of the time is going to be against white people, and the crimes black people commit are going to be against black people, why is the black on black? Why is there so much aggression between black men and black women? Is really my question. If that makes sense.
I'm gonna start off with my response, and then I'll let Shani and Deb respond as they see fit, respectively. But from a strictly black man's perspective, why I feel like there's a lot of tension, say, between black men and black women versus Caucasian men and Caucasian women. Well, first of all, I will preface by saying I think all races have their set of problems. So it ain't like black men and black women got, say, 10 times as many problems between them than other races. I think they all have their share of problems. But that said, I'll highlight two or three things just based on my personal experience and observation. One, I already talked about. Like, one thing I hear from brothers when they confide with me about some of their frustrations or problems, and maybe this happens in other cultures, but a lot of black men, like T. Smitty talked about and I follow up talking about, we'll see black. Okay, I'll give you one example, Frankie. I met this woman a few years back. She lived in Chicago. We hooked up, and we were just talking, and then we got to talk about our past relationships. And she started talking about, now this was a woman with an engineering degree. She had a master's degree. But yet, like, two of her ex-boyfriends were, like, just, like, street thug-type brothers who was dealing drugs. And I was basically just like, what the fuck are you doing messing around with them types? Now, she was real, and I always say, I like people who keep it real. She was like, because they fucked me really good. You know, and Frankie, you've heard me a number of times say this on this show. One of my kind of lighthearted criticisms, well, it ain't really lighthearted, that I have towards women versus men is that men, we don't fall in love over good pussy. I mean, you might have 2 or 3% of men out there that might do that. But men, we're able to separate feelings of love from just wanting to get some pussy. Women, when they get some good dick, they fall in love with that shit. A high percentage of women, they fall in love with good dick. And so that's my assessment of why a lot of women hook up with, for lack of a better term, loser types, is because a motherfucker could be a convicted drug dealer, but if he fucks the shit out of a woman, he gets a good dick, she in love with that motherfucker. And that's what this woman I interacted with pretty much admitted. She had two long-term boyfriends that were fucking drug dealers, man. So anyway, getting to your question, that's what makes a lot of brothers, the brothers who are, say, you know, more educated, financially self-sufficient, they're like, what the fuck are these women dealing with these motherfuckers for? So that makes them lose respect for a lot of the sisters. And then sisters, a lot of them were brought up by single moms. And as I was saying earlier in the show, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, they're not taught to respect black men. They hear their mothers saying shit like, black men ain't shit, they'll never be shit. So by the time they become an adult, right, they're like, shit, I don't respect no black man because they ain't shit. My mother said they ain't shit. My aunt said they ain't shit. And the final thing I would say is also something I talked about earlier about the matriarchal family structure versus patriarchal family structure. A lot of other cultures subscribe more to the patriarchal family structure than the black community does. A lot of people in the black community, they subscribe to the idea of the woman basically being the head of the household, and a lot of men resent that shit. And so all of those factors that I talked about contribute to a high degree of tension, and again, I'm speaking from the black man perspective, and now I'm going to allow first Shani and then Deborah to, you know, give their own answers to your question. Okay. Shani?
Oh, okay, yes. Making sure I was off mute. No, the young man, is his name Frank?
Frankie.
Okay. Yeah. I understood your question from the very beginning, and I knew it wasn't based, you know, on statistics. Your question is, why is there so much hate within the black community towards each other? Why is it the women cannot get along with the man? Why can't the man get along with the woman? And Alan did answer part of it. A lot of it is, as black women, we feel we're entitled to everything. We feel that we deserve to be a queen. We feel that, you know, if a man doesn't bow down to us, then he ain't worth nothing. And that has caused a dissension within the community itself, because we've emasculated the black man, but we want black men because we know white men aren't going to date us. We know that Italian men aren't going to date us. But we still want this privilege and this idea that we are perfected, but we don't give a crap about our men. And that's the wrong mentality to enter into any relationship. And, you know, some people are throwing out Willie Lynch. That could be part of it. And the other part is the upbringing within those homes. Like Alan was saying, you know, we see and hear in our community, your daddy ain't worth nothing. Your daddy ain't shit. Your daddy ain't never around. I'm the mama and the daddy. If you ever pay attention to what these women say on Father's Day, they'll say, I'm the mama and the daddy. You ain't got no daddy. I take care of you. That's a bunch of bull crap. It's the mindset of the women. And true, men also have some issues too. But I'm not going to talk about men because I'm not one. I'm a female. I know what we do. And what we do is we're hurting our community. We are a virus that's spreading worse than cancer, discrediting our black men, taking away their ability to be and grow and do more. You know, we're throwing out these raw statistics. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Not you throwing out raw statistics, but we're throwing out these statistics. We know what the issue is, but yet we don't want to fix it. Why don't we want to fix it? Because we still want to be deemed as perfected. We still want to be the top thing in society, and that's not the case. So a lot of it is our mindset. And that's where you've seen this back and forth and things of that nature. And I honestly hate seeing it because that was me, and that's ugly. It's not building a community. It's still continuing that cycle of breaking us down year after year. We're not building anybody up. We're not even building ourselves up. And all while we're not building ourselves up, our young men are going to prison. The very thing that we want, the very thing that we love, the very thing that we admire and we need in our lives, we're pushing them away because we hate ourselves as women. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. And Deborah?
I don't know where she's coming from because I have never heard a woman with confidence and high self-esteem speak in such a manner. But there is nothing about any of the women that I socialize with that makes them... they don't hate themselves. They love themselves. And that's why they know that they deserve more than what this latest round of trash scurrying through the black community like rats calling themselves men are offering. They're not offering.
If we love ourselves so much.
I did not interrupt you. I let you talk. You're rude.
If we love ourselves
so much. Can you mute her so I can say what I need to say?
Okay, I am going to mute you, Shani, and no disrespect, but I am actually on Deborah's side on this. While you were talking, Deborah was totally quiet. So let Deborah say what she has to say, and then I'll give you a chance for a rebuttal. But I don't, on my show, I don't like the whole talking over people. I don't like that. So right now, Shani, I am going to mute you, and Deborah, go ahead.
All I'm saying is I heard every word she said, and I felt sorry for her, that she feels that way about herself and about other sisters, because the women that I socialize with are educated, accomplished, and powerful women. They have no feelings at all about themselves feeling like they're less and feeling like that, you know, that they are that they hate themselves. That just really hurt hurt my heart to hear her say that, because I really, even though I don't know her, she's a sister. And for me, it's like all black women are my sisters, and I want them all to be well and to be happy and to feel whole. And when I hear someone say something like that, it's hurtful. And but the bottom line is, yes, there's a lot of young black men going to prison. I'd say 90% of them belong there. If you look at what's happening in the inner cities and spaces like Chicago and that, Oakland, wherever here, where
wait, time out there. 90% of them deserve to be in prison?
Dude.
Come on.
They're killing people.
90% of black men deserve to be in prison.
Yeah.
Come on now.
They do. If you killing people, you robbing people, you doing all kind of egregious violence towards
that
people.
That ain't 90% of the problem.
It is 90% of the ones in there.
Though.
It is.
That's not even the majority of black men.
That's not even the majority. Come on, Deb. That's a crazy statistic. Yeah. And my listeners know I'm very harshly critical of statistics that come out the ass.
That belong in prison that aren't there. Okay? Because their woman won't press charges. Their woman saving them. They beat
Okay.
their ass.
My
they
question.
Belong to be locked up. And they need to be there. So, I don't know what to tell you. Y'all is trying to cover for them, but I'm telling you, most of them that's in there, they need to be there. They're breaking the law. They're being violent. They're being crazy.
I don't disagree with that. If somebody is breaking the law, yes, they deserve to be in prison. But for you to say that 90% of black men deserve to be in prison?
No, I said 90% of the ones that's in there deserve to be there.
Oh, okay. Then my bad. I thought you said 90% of all black men deserve to be in prison.
No, I said 90% of the ones that's in there deserve to be there.
Oh, okay.
There are 10% who I think, I've read about their cases, and I'm like, I don't know. But, for the most of them, that doesn't apply. And so then she said that we're taking away their ability to do and be more. That's bullshit. Because the bottom line is, if a male is really a man, no one can take his manhood from him. No one. No one. Not a woman especially. Because he's supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to be strong and all this old stuff. No female should be able to take his manhood from him. So, he might be challenged by another male. But to think that a woman has the power to wrest away his manhood, that's BS. So, I hear that these are excuses to me to allow men to be weak and coddled and babied and all this kind of stuff, and to make excuses for them falling through the cracks. I don't go for it. And so that's one of the criticisms that I have with black men, is that they're fucking babies. And they
okay. Well, first of all, Frankie, I appreciate you calling in. I want to take a couple more calls. So thank you for those pointed questions. That was good stuff. But before I give Shani a chance to offer her comments before I take another phone call, see, I have two criticisms of contradictory comments by you, Deborah. One, you basically in one way or another are saying that a lot of black men ain't shit. Let's say for argument's sake, I was to agree with you. Again, I hate to keep harping on what T. Smitty said, but my number one question becomes, if it's, let's say 55% of brothers in society ain't shit, why are women fucking around with that 55%? That's my question. That's the question on a lot of black men. I know mine. Why are they fucking around with them?
I can tell you the answer to that. It's very simple.
Other than good dick, why are they fucking around with them?
It's not even that. It's not that. It's that you got like two levels of black people. You have those who have exposure to good jobs, college, suburbs, tennis, golf, and this kind of thing. And then you have folks that live in the hood, okay? And they're not really exposed to much. Their life is movies, television, and, living wherever it is that they live and just trying to get by. Food stamps, welfare, Section 8, this kind of thing. Okay, there's different levels. Just because you have the same paint job does not mean you have the same culture. And so when you guys talk about, quote, black women, a lot of the times what you're talking about are those lower echelon people.
But no, I just talked about a story where a woman I hooked up with in Chicago, this woman was more educated than me.
She's still a hood rat.
She was very intelligent, very articulate, and she liked the fuck motherfuckers that wasn't about shit. Anyway, my second thing is
education doesn't mean that there's not still a hood rat.
We all got some nig in us. I say that to people all the time. I mean, like, I'm a college-educated brother, but shit, I got some nig in me now. You get me riled up and get me upset, my nigga side will come out. But my other thing before I let Shani speak again, see, you did this contradiction. This is a contradiction a lot of women tend to express, and this relates to my book, Mode 1. On one end, you were saying, Ellen, I compliment you that you are telling men not to lie to women and mislead women about the fact that they don't want a relationship. They just want some ass. I compliment you for telling me straightforward. But then you turned around a few minutes later and said, well, men should be wanting just some pussy from a woman. That's what makes them vulnerable to manipulation and being misled, that they approach one with their dick in their hands. It's like, my question then is, which is it? It's like you basically men shouldn't lie, but at the same time, if they weren't so straightforward about the fact that they just want some pussy, they wouldn't experience all the problems they experience.
Alan, you don't get it. If the guy was straightforward, he would be straightforward. He would have to be straightforward with himself first. See, it's a two-part process. You're straightforward with yourself first, and then you present that straightforwardness to the world. Okay, these guys have missed that step, both steps actually. So they come across as, you know, being Mr. Friendly and, you know, I want a relationship, oh, you're so great, this and that. So they, even though that's their underlying motive, they're not acknowledging it either to themselves or the woman. She picks up on it, though, and she proceeds to use them for everything they have. A guy who is honest with himself and with the woman about what his motive is not setting himself up for that. It's a completely different dynamic. So I understand what you're saying, but you're missing the point. The key issue is that the man has to acknowledge that that's all he wants, accept it, and then present himself in that manner. So it's a little bit different than what you're saying. And the guys who I'm talking about who get set up like that are the ones who have not in any way, shape, or form accepted that about themselves and then being able to,
I hear a lot of women say, and this ain't even just black women, this is women, period. A lot of women on one end will say, Alan, I can't stand the fact that men will lie to you and mislead you and play games with you. I want a man who's honest. I want a man who's honest. And then I always throw this at him. I say, okay, let's say you was at the shopping mall tomorrow. And there's this guy who saw you. He thought you had nice tits, nice ass. He came to you. He said, you know what? I ain't looking to be your next husband. I ain't looking to be your next long-term boyfriend. I just want, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, I just want to fuck the shit out of you. What's your response? Oh, no, uh-uh. You know, that he would be disrespecting me, and I'm more than just a walking, talking vagina, and I got more to offer, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, whoa. Well, what happened to the honesty? What happened to the honesty? Then they just, most of them, honestly, they just get quiet. They start stumbling over their words. Because if they want it both ways, they'll say they want honesty.
No.
But then they say, well, I want honesty. But if he just want casual sex, then actually I really don't want him to be honest about that.
No, she does want him to be honest. But, Alan, she still has the right of refusal. And so, see,
I've never said a woman don't have a right to not reciprocate a man's
love. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is, this is what I say to women. I say this in my books. I say to them directly. I respect rejection. I'm all about rejection. If a woman's not interested in a guy, she should reject him. So I'm not at all saying that just because a man approaches a woman and wants casual sex that the woman should automatically reciprocate. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is this. There's a way you can reject. I've written a couple articles about this. There's a way you can reject somebody. I'll use you as an example. Let's say I approach you and I say, you know, woo, and basically I say, hey, you know, I ain't looking for nothing long-term, nothing serious. I just want to fuck like rabbits for the next few months. And you were to say, you know what, Alan, I appreciate your honesty, but I got to tell you, you know, casual sex is not my cup of tea, so I'm going to have to decline your offer. But I do appreciate you, you know, how forthright you were about your intentions, but I just got to tell you, I'm not interested. I'm not tripping on that. And I think I speak for most men and say most men will be able to accept that. Here's what I'm critical of. Same situation. I approach you, let you know I don't want nothing serious, and I tell you basically that I just want casual sex. And you like, nigga, are you crazy? I ain't no hoe. I ain't no slut. What you talking about? You just want to fuck me. Do I look like a hoe on the street? I'm a respectable woman. Don't be coming at me talking that casual sex bullshit. See, that's the response I'm critical of, is when women have that type of response.
Why? That's her.
Because you killing a man, basically, is not good for you, to be honest. I would rather you bullshit me. That's what you basically saying with that second response.
No, but see,
yes, you are.
No.
You basically saying, please, I would prefer that you bullshit me.
No, what she's saying is, I don't like how you approach me. And every woman is different. So, you know, you coming up saying stuff like the F word and all this old stuff, some women don't like that. So it's like, you know, you want your approach to be universally accepted, and I'm telling you it's not going to be. Depending upon that woman, somebody like me, like if somebody, guy came up to me and said that, you know, for the next 2 or 3 months, I just want to, I say, motherfucker, blah, 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 and I would cuss his ass out.
And that's exactly why men bullshit women in the store.
No.
That's why they bullshit women. Because y'all got that nigga to ask you, so they going to bullshit you.
That is why I say most men are sociopaths.
Because the fact that
you would think that you have to BS a woman in order to get what you want, even though it's not the truth, it's not reality at all, because you want a certain result from her, that's a sociopath. And I always say that most men are sociopaths. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. I wrote about it on my blog. Frankie, check it out on survivingdating.com. I wrote it. That is
okay.
Why, you know.
Now I'm going to give Shani next 5-10 minutes, whatever you want to express, whatever you want to say, you know, you have the only open floor mic. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I have my phone on mute. Okay, so my question is actually to Ms. Dever here. How is it that you say that you want men to be a certain way, or you say that black women are on a certain level, but you discredit the very thing that comes from us, a black man? Why is it that you beat these men down and say they're not worth anything and put yourself in the position of being higher and mightier than black men? That was my question to her before I got muted.
Do you want me to unmic her unmute her so she can answer?
Sure.
Okay. Dale?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Shani, it's not that I say this about universal, about every single black man on the planet. I'm very specific. When I give my criticisms, I always specify a certain behavior. I mean, you can read any article that I've written for the last 20 years. Seriously, girlfriend. I talk about behavior. And if a man does those behaviors, then he ain't shit. But if he does not do those behaviors, then he's fine with me, because I have a lot of male friends. I have, you know, great family members. I have men in my personal life. They don't act like that. And so I have no problem with them. I have the utmost respect for them. But if a guy behaves as I have set out in those articles, he's violent, he's abusive, he's a sexual molester, he's a liar, he's a, you know, user, all this kind of stuff, then he applies in that particular round of criticism, and so I want him to do better. I want him to recognize himself in that criticism and change his behavior so that he will be a man that us as women can be proud of and say, look, you know, this brother's a great guy. He is a wonderful man. He is a representative of the black community. He is a pillar. He is someone we want our children to be like. That's what I'm looking for. And so I point out their negative behavior in order for them to understand this is not good. I mean, maybe you didn't have a daddy to tell you. Maybe your mama didn't tell you because she was too busy spoiling your little nigga ass. But I'm telling you, this is not cool. And so this is how you look to women who are about something. And if you want to be considered as a possible mate for these women, this is how you need to change and present yourself. And so that's all. So if the guy doesn't fit that description, that ain't him, he's not doing those things, then I'm not talking about him. He's not under that umbrella. I'm not talking about him under that, quote, black man thing that I'm criticizing. I'm very, very specific.
Okay, so my next question to you would be then, what are you teaching these young women who aren't at the cure with who they are or themselves? Are they, you know, are they ending up being a bitter bitch, basically, or are they using these tools to build something, or are they tearing down men? Are they ending up being gay? What is the outcome of what you're doing? Because I see it more as a detriment to the community than uplifting.
I'm sorry you think that, because it's very much a positive thing. See, I grew up in a two-parent household.
But I wasn't finished with my question. Yes, ma'am. So, again, to those, I understand that you're working with certain women, but I'm talking about these type of women who are weak, who are not as strong as they need to be. How is this a tool to help build? I'm not talking about all this other stuff, but what is this building for these young women who are weak? That's my other question.
So is that it? Is that you done? Is that the whole question?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. What I've seen is that I've gotten a lot of letters back, you know, from young ladies who say, you know, nobody ever told me the stuff that you're telling me. I didn't know this. My mother didn't tell me. My father didn't tell me. Nobody in my family told me. I was trying to find my way by myself. So there's nothing about how I tell women to conduct themselves with honor and respecting themselves and loving themselves and treating themselves as they are important and special that is bad for men. And so a lot of guys think that because the woman is valuing herself, that it means that she's against men. That's not what it means. It means that she wants you to raise your level of performance up so that she can consider you as a worthy mate. As long as you are down in the dregs, you're not on her radar. And a lot of guys resent that because they want to do like the bare minimum and still get, you know, all the perks of being wonderful, and it doesn't work like that. The wonderful guys get the perks of being wonderful. You just barely scraping by. You doing the bare minimum. You ain't really doing shit. You don't get the perks. And so these young ladies, what I'm trying to teach them is to value themselves, to value their womb. That's really important. To not share the birth of a child with just anybody. That is a special thing. As you're bringing forth another life into this planet, that has to be considered as a special and unique gift to a man who is worthy of that. And, you know, those kind of things. And so there's nothing against men. I think women actually have the power to change what's going on in the black community to, you know, at least 50% of it. I mean, they can't change the violence and all that stuff. But as far as the baby thing and all that stuff, they do have the power to change that, but it's going to start with them valuing themselves and their bodies as something unique and special. And that's not something that young black women are being taught, not at all. They're being taught that their bodies are property of men and that they're supposed to be submissive and, you know, under the domination and dominion of males, because that's what the Bible said.
Okay. All right. Well, now that there's a little break, two things I want to say. Number one, I got to do a little tooting of the horn. This show is now in my top 10 of all the episodes I've done in the last 6 years. As far as most listeners know, there's two basic groups of listeners that all Blog Talk Radio hosts know we have. That's your live listeners and your archive listeners. As far as live listeners, this is now my 10th most listened to show as far as live listeners. So I want to toot my horn about that. Second thing, I'm going to be taking a few more phone calls, but first I want to do a quick intermission break in case my guests need to get a swig of water or just take a break. So I'll be back in about 4.5 to 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerous Lee.
And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Too, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront, Straightforward, and Low One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mind sex is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about black men and black women in today's dating scene with Miss Shawnee Fenderson and Miss Deborah Cooper, a.k.a. Miss Heartbeat, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Show, you, man, you've been missing some verbal fireworks. I predicted this show would be on fire, and it's been on fire. What we've been talking about is specific. Now, I like to always preface, normally my shows are about just men and women, period, regardless of age, regardless of race. 98% of the time I talk about just men and women, period. But I have had a handful of shows that specifically talked about relationships within the black community, and this is one of those shows. What we're talking about is who is more to blame for the problems between black men and black women as it relates to dating relationships, and who is more to blame for the demise of many romantic relationships within the African-American community. Is it the black men more at fault, or is it the black women more at fault? And I invited two guests to discuss this topic with me. One, Miss Shani Fenderson. She's a co-host of her own show called The Gumbo Cafe right here on Blog Talk Radio. And she argues that women are more at fault. And a couple of her reasons were that women love to gravitate towards drama. Women make a lot of poor choices in their sexual companions, their romantic companions. She even made the point that there's a lot of women who want to get pregnant by black men, but they really don't want those black men as their husband or long-term boyfriend. They just want to get pregnant by them. And finally, her most important point, emphatic point, was that a lot of black women do not hold themselves accountable for their own problems and their own flaws. Now, conversely, Deborah Cooper, who also has her own show on Blog Talk Radio that usually airs on Sunday evenings, she's known by the moniker Miss Heartbeat, and she makes the argument that black men are more to blame for the problems between black men and black women and the demise of black relationships. And some of the things she feels like, a lot of black men, number one, just don't have themselves together career-wise, education-wise, financially. Number two, that a lot of black men tend to request or expect loyalty from black women and submissiveness from black women, but they don't want to offer those women marriage or any type of long-term monogamous relationship. And she says they tend to have a lot of violent tendencies and a lot of sexually perverted tendencies. So that's where we stand. We've gotten comments also from some of our listeners, and I'm about to go to the phone lines once again and get some of the questions and or comments from listeners, starting with area code 510. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guests, Shani Fenderson and Deborah Cooper. What's your question and or comment?
Okay. I've been listening for about an hour. It's interesting, and I first want to say Deborah Cooper is 100% on point. And I've been listening to her. She's all about growth. She's about growth, about improvement, and she's about telling the truth. And so, obviously, if the truth isn't talked about and acknowledged, then no growth is going to happen. So my second point is blaming black women for causing problems between black men and women is really a big mistake.
Why?
And, you know, no other group of people looks at their women and go, you woman, you white woman, Asian woman, Mexican woman, you are the problem for all of the problems that our men have in our group. You're the problem. No other woman is expected to accept that BS and carry that burden and then be responsible for coming up with a solution and being the leader to fix that false problem.
So wait, before you go on, let me clarify this now. You're saying that black men compared to, say, Asian men, Caucasian men, Hispanic men, and other types of men, we blame our women more than non-black men do.
And like this woman, Shani, she's co-signed on it. She's highly mistaken. She's co-signed on it because there's been an agenda to make black women the blame for all of the ills of black society. Black women have co-signed on it.
Okay, let me stop you there. What's your first name again, Martha?
Yeah.
Okay, Martha, let me stop you before you go on. Are you saying that black women should be absolved of any blame related to the problems we have between black men and black women?
I did not say that. I did not say that. What I said is stop blaming black women. Stop it. We're not accepting it. Those of us that are very aware, we don't, you know, we're sick of hearing that because it's a lie.
What's
a
lie?
It's a lie.
What specifically is a lie?
That black women are the cause of the problem for black men from the cradle to the grave. That's not true.
So, again, I'm asking you the question. You're saying that they're not to blame at all for anything.
I said they're not the sole cause. Let me go back and say it. Men have to take ownership. If y'all want to be men, call yourself men and be leaders, and want women to listen and follow behind you, then you're going to have to be leaders.
In defense of men, at least.
You're going to have to solve your own problems.
At least men I know, I got to interject and say, I don't know too many men, particularly those men who are a combination of mature and educated, who would ever put 100% of the blame for bad relationships on women.
But they don't even want to put 75% to 80%. They want to 75. They're going to do it. But can we just move on? Because I have another point. Because we can get stuck there.
Well, see, you just did something. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm saying this half lightheartedly, half seriously.
But you just did something
that a lot of brothers have a problem with black women, and I'm gonna be honest, I'm one of them. I've had certain guests on this show, black females in particular, sad to say, who will try to tell me, the host, how to conduct my show. And like you just said, I know you didn't mean it maliciously, but like the way you just kind of, because you said, hey, let's move on to the next point. I tell guests all the time, don't tell me what to fucking do on my fucking show. I got to lay down the law. Do not ever tell me what to do. I can do whatever the fuck I want to do on my show. I can talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about. And again, I'm not trying to be too hard on you, but I have fallen out with a couple of sisters who came on the show, and this relates to one of the criticisms I have and a lot of brothers have of black women. A lot of black women, they like to be bossy and run shit. Like, I had a sister, I don't even want to say her name, who came on my show, and she was trying to tell me when to take an intermission break and when to do this and when to do that. I was like, what the fuck are you doing on my show? This is my show. So anyway, if I want to interject you, I will interject you. If I want to ask you multiple questions on the same topic, I will do that because I am the host of my show. Now, if I was on your show, I'd play by your rules. But on my show, I do what the fuck I want to do. I say what the fuck I want to say. Now, that said,
can I say something now? Now that was pretty dramatic, Alan.
No, it had to be dramatic because, I would start out trying to be lighthearted about it, but I really do have a beef with sisters coming on my show trying to tell me how to accelerate my show, when to move on to another question, or when to take a caller. I'm like, don't tell me what to fucking do on my show.
I wasn't doing any of that.
Yes, you did. You made the comment. You said, let's move past this.
I said, can we? Because I do have a lot of points.
Now, you didn't say can we initially. Now you're saying can we. Initially, you didn't say can we.
No,
but anyway, go ahead. What's your next point?
Okay, so that was my next point, was that the lady was saying women are much more dramatic than men. I beg to differ. Men tend to be how much more dramatic that I've discovered, especially.
Give me an example.
Over the past 10 years, I mean, they bully, they take over conversations. If you don't agree with them, they shout you down, they get all emotional, they scream, they some men start cursing, they walk. That's all drama.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But that was the third point, Alan.
Well, you could go on in that delusional fantasy world, but I don't know any man that I've ever been around that caused more drama. Well, as a group, but there's always exceptions. As people say, there's always exceptions. So, there's probably a few brothers that might cause more drama than the woman does. But
ooh,
as a group, I would never in a million years say men cause more drama than black men cause more drama than black women.
Gosh,
that is bullshit. That is bullshit. Black men, we just want women to not nag us and have good sex with us and cook us a free meal. We ain't trying to get into no bunch of arguments and shit.
And nagging means, could you please take out the trash? I know. So anyway, okay. So then Deborah talked about the other lady. I can't think of what is
okay,
her name.
Okay, so Shani, so you agree with just about everything Deborah Cooper said. Now, what are your specific disagreements with what Shani said? What specifically did she say that you say that you have a harsh disagreement with?
Okay, that women tend to be much more dramatic than men to talk about drama. I haven't found that in my life, and a lot of women haven't. The man causes the drama. They cause a lot of problems. And then when the women react because he's caused problems for her, now she's being dramatic. You see what I'm saying? But they're the initiator. She's the reactor. Men initiate most of the drama. That's what I've found. They initiate most of the problems that create drama. And so then secondly, everybody should be responsible for making their poor choices. But, you know, people don't make choices in a vacuum. There are all a lot of factors into creating a person, the way a person thinks and behaves, and why that person makes maybe a good choice or a bad choice, right? But, you know, we all need to grow. We've all made bad choices, right? But there's a difference between being hot mistaken versus being intentionally a predator, intentionally a liar, and intentionally a pretender. And a lot of black men, as you know, have been trained from childhood how to be all of those.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, and I've said this before on my show. Here's what I'm going to say about that. I'll start off by saying what I've already said. I never condone men lying to women about their desires, interests, and intentions. Men misleading women about their desires, interests, and intentions. That's what most of my books are all about, is discouraging men from exhibiting that behavior. But I do have to say, in kind of sort of a partial defense of them, is related to that point that I was talking about with Deborah. See, a lot of men, they want to be honest with women, but barring that old famous line from that movie, A Few Good Men, when Jack Nicholson said, "You can't handle the truth," a lot of women can't handle the truth. They always say they want the truth, but they can't handle the truth. And the truth of the matter is, and I've said this again two million times on my show, here's the reality of men. We don't want to date or marry every woman that we're physically attracted to. There's a percentage. For some men, it might be 5%. For some men, it might be as high as 50% that they do genuinely want to date and marry. But for most men, at least minimum 50% of the women we meet, we just want to fuck, whether it's for one night, one weekend, one month, whatever. We just want to fuck them. That's it. But a lot of men don't feel like they can be honest, and this is not necessarily a valid excuse for them, because, again, I don't condone lying or manipulative head games. But a lot of men,